Welcome, everybody. Of course, this week's interview is with David White of the band Heathen, and he is a singer of this band. To give you a little bit of a background, Heathen was a thrash metal band and is a thrash metal band from out in California, and they were definitely part of the Bay Area thrash movement, along with David White. They also have members of other bands, including Lee Altus, who's also in Exodus, and of course, they have Craig and Lum, the other guitar player who's also in the band Prototype. But anyway, great to have you on here, David, and just wanted to ask you my first question. Tell us a little bit about the album, you know, what went into it, who produced it, you know, how everything got together, and, you know, let's kind of go from there.
Yeah, the new album, of course, you know, is The Evolution of Chaos, and it was produced by Juan Ortega at Trident Studios. And the current lineup is myself, David White, and then Lee Altus on interim drums, a new guitar player, Craig and Lum. He's out of LA. He also plays in a band called Prototype and Psychosis. And then John Torres on bass, who's also a local Bay Area guy. We recorded the record. Actually, it's been a while now. I started recording in August of 08, and we finished a little bit into May of 09. So we spent, you know, some amount of time in the studio, but there was some little breaks in between for Juan to allow other groups to come in and do some, you know, so we could make some extra cash, because he was hooking us up, you know, in the studio, so we could take our time. So whenever he was able to make some fast cash, you know, we would kind of put things on hold. For the most part, we were there for about 5 months. We had some guest players on the record. We had, like, friends of ours, Gary Holt, came in and played a couple solos. Terry Lauderdale, who was with the band for a little while, came in. He also played on the demo and did some solos on the demo. And so we asked him to come in and rip some solos on the record just to capture what he had kind of put together on the demo. Also Steve, it's DiGiorgio. Steve DiGiorgio.
Mm-hmm.
From Sadus. He came in and he played sitar on Dying Season, and also some fretless bass in the middle part of Millstone Intern. And his drummer, John Allen, came in and played chimes in the beginning of the intro of Dying Season. And then also Jack from Exodus, the bass player, did a little bit of bass work. And then, Rob Dukes, the singer from Exodus, did a little vocal track on Fade Away. And, let's see, what else can I think of? Of course, you know, it's the first full-length record since we put out Victim's Deception in 1991. And, you know, there's been a big gap of time, but the band wasn't even together for a good 8-9 years of that time. We formed the band in 2001 and did a concert for Chuck Billy from Testament, and it was called The Thrash and the Titans. There was a whole bunch of groups that we formed to do that show, and that's what sort of sparked the whole thing to start going, and I think it sparked the whole, you know, rejuvenation of a lot of the Bay Area bands to start putting out records, and, you know, it just seemed like the right time, and it seems to be building up now, and it's pretty strong in Europe, and it's starting to really catch on over here in the States. So, you know, we spent time over the last few years putting the record together and solidifying the lineup. And here we are now, a brand new record.
And why did you name the album The Evolution of Chaos? You know, what's the meaning behind the title, and why did you pick that title for the record?
We had lots of different ideas for the album title, and actually Craig came up with the idea for the title. It seemed to, I passed on all the lyrics to him, and reading through it, he just noticed a pattern of, chaos and lots of things going on, like with dying season, to where it just sort of made sense. And then, it's sort of the whole record was sort of an evolution too, because of, changing of the guard, different band members, and the different things that had happened, and it was sort of an evolutionary process just to get it done. And then, you just look at it, different things that are going on the planet these days, and how I sort of tried to reflect on that in the song "Controlled by Chaos." But I think he took it in a bigger picture, and that's why, it was called "The Evolution of Chaos." At least that's where that's how he came up with the idea.
Do you guys have any tour plans coming up at all?
Well, it's looking like we're going to be trying to get out and do a tour in Europe in the end of April into May.
Mm-hmm.
Promote the record, and then we're working on some new stuff and trying to push forward to do a stage tour, hopefully in the summertime. We want to be as busy as we possibly can. We're just trying to make it work for everybody. The money definitely has to be there so that it makes sense for everybody to go, because everybody pretty much, is working in some capacity. Lee's, he's playing in Exodus as well, so that's another obstacle that we have to work around and try to make, make things work, with that whole ordeal. So, we definitely are making plans. But the one thing that's looking pretty positive right now is we're going to Europe in the end of April.
How have things changed for you in the music industry as compared to, say, 18, 19 years ago when you put out your last full-length record?
Well, obviously we were a lot younger, and things were, it was a lot easier to just, be able to take off on a whim and go play and go tour and things like that. And now, people have families, and for us, it's just, there's a lot of commitments and different things that we have to address, before we can just, be flying around. But as far as the scene goes, right now it's very different. Back in the old days, the Bay Area scene was thriving with bands and clubs, and, it seems to be surging again. There's some good clubs out there now, and, there's a bit of a scene, but it's nothing like it used to be. And, in different places, I noticed that, there's an up-and-coming resurgence of, or a surge of new fans, not a resurgence, but a surge of young fans. And what I keep talking about, to people when they ask me, it's real important for the new fans to really support their local music scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it really takes, to make it to pop, because I remember back in the 80s, even coming to Cleveland, and playing over there, and, there were some good clubs out there, and all through the United States. The States is kind of fickle these days, so, I noticed in the Bay Area, the same thing, it's not much of a scene, it's just, when there's a good show, people come out. And if it's a really big show, like Ozfest or something like that, amazingly, there's, 30,000 metalheads there, and you don't see them at the local clubs. They just don't, it's just not really that vibrant of a scene these days.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference I see at this point.
The Bay Area thrash scene was definitely, at the time, the fastest and heaviest stuff going, and for a lot of younger people, and for a lot of people that were not around back then, talk about what that scene was like, what it was like playing in that particular music scene, why it was so important, and, just talk about what it was like back then.
Well, it started off really, I remember I was in a band called Blind Illusion coming out of high school, and when we finally put a demo together, we were trying to get into the clubs. And they were not playing heavy music at all, any kind of heavy metal scene at all. It was like the Mac and, you know, that kind of stuff. It was, you know, a lot of weird local stuff. You listen to the news and all that, and we were young, and so it was very difficult. And then the local radio station started to, they put something together with Bill Graham, and he had a club in the city called the Waldorf, and they put this thing together called Metal Mondays. And Metal Mondays ended up turning into Metal Mondays and then Metal Fridays because it was so successful. And then some of the other local clubs started, because they saw the success of those, of what the Waldorf was doing, started opening their doors to the, you know, to the same bands. And it started to generate this huge buzz. And there was all kinds of different music that was all, it was all sort of kind of rock and roll, heavy metal type stuff, but there was progressive bands. There were bands that were, you know, sort of power rock or power metal type stuff. Just a huge variety. You'd have bands, you know, they would call like hair bands or poser bands that they called back in the day, that were sort of glam kind of rock.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, all the different bands would all kind of play together. It'd be mixed. It would be a mixed bag. So the audiences were mixed, and so, and it was very, very, you know, it's good energy, you know, because there was just a lot going on. But then it started to sort of segregate, you know, to between, you know, the heavier bands and then the more glammy bands. You know, the guys that were wearing makeup and stuff like that. It seemed like, you know, it wasn't working out, you know, with those bands playing together, so it sort of separated, which I think kind of killed it a little bit, because I think it was a good mixture, because really you had a lot more females coming out to see the big hair bands, you know, and if they mixed the shows, then everybody's happy. But I think it even started, it was Exodus that actually started it and ruined it, you know, because Paul Bailoff was like, kill the opposers,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's like, yeah, people thought that was heavy and cool, whatever, but it really, it just made all the girls go away from those shows.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, everybody, you know, I met so many people from all over the Bay Area that I would have never met had it not been happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of people that are still friends today. And then when, like, Alba Corus just came out with a brand new record, and they hadn't, you know, they had never put out a record, ever. And they were like a promising band back then, and so it was so cool when they came out with their record release. You know, there's a lot of old faces there, you know, that we all used to hang out in the parking lot and, you know, have some beers and you know, of course everybody's all grown up now and, you know, got families and things like that. But it was a really fun, you know, it was a really fun time. You know, you'd go out, it's like there's always a good show every weekend. So, you know. And it went on for a while. It got, you know, better and better, and then the club scene, some of the newer clubs started doing the whole LA thing where they were making bands pay to play, you know, some of the up and coming bands and making it very difficult for the bands to sort of, you know, kind of break through, and it sort of suffocated the whole scene until, you know, those clubs sort of died off because that whole deal was just, you know, it was just a bad deal.
You know, we just talked about the Bay Area thrash scene and what it was like. And, you know, talk a little bit about recording your debut album, Breaking the Silence. I know many people consider that a thrash classic. And, you know, talk about recording of that record. And, you know, talk about what it was like for you back then going into the studio.
Well, that was the first time for the band to be in the studio to record a record. And we actually, you know, we had Ronnie Montrose was going to produce the record. And, we went down to Music Annex as a studio in Palo Alto, and everybody was pretty juiced up to come in and record a record. And we had a lot of fun. You know, Lonnie really through most of the process was pretty great, pretty energetic, and pretty excited. But as we went along, he tended to really lose track of what we were trying to do as a metal band, and was really trying to push his ideas of how he thought the record should sound, which was really frustrating for us. We had great drum tones that we had originally recorded in Studio D at the Music Plant, which he killed in the mix. You know, there was just different, you know, issues with that. He became actually very difficult. He didn't want us to be there when he mixed the record, so, you know, we were pretty young, and we were like, okay, well, that doesn't seem right, but okay. And then when we came in to hear what he had done in the mix, we weren't happy. And we wanted to mix it again, and he was just one of the guitar players there, and it still didn't come out, you know. I mean, we still weren't that happy. Some of the tracks turned out really good, and it was well-received. Set Me Free, you know, turned out really well. That was like, probably the one song that he actually spent the time to make sound decent. That and maybe Goblin's Way and a couple other ones. But honestly, it was one of those experiences where we felt rushed, for him so he could get the record done on budget and so he could get his money and, you know, and be done with it. And, you know, for most of us, I think there's a part of us that, you know, it was a little disappointing, you know, for us creatively. Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of people, it's their favorite record, and a lot of people think it's, you know, they love that record, they love the sound of that record, and for us it's like, you know. I mean, I think the guitar sound really great. I think the vocals, I'm not happy with how the vocals turned out, and I don't think that the time was put into that. I don't think that Ronnie really, you know, brought the best out of me in that, you know. And that's, you know, so that when we went to do Victims, we were able to, when we worked with Rob Beaton on that record, and we were able to take the time, you know, a little bit more time. You know, and he really did. He was excellent as far as bringing out the best in everybody. You know, and that was a much better experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the record shows that.
Yeah, it's a much more progressive sounding thrash album, actually.
When you look. Sure. Well, I think I love the songs off the first record. I mean, we've talked about it over the years about going back in there and then redoing some of that stuff, you know, just so that we could, you know, really listen to it and go, yeah, that's how it was supposed to sound, you know. So for Victims, I think definitely the music was a little more progressive, but I think it was also, you know, us growing as songwriters together as a band, you know, a little more cohesive. But just being able to take the time with, I just feel like the production was just so much better, you know. And then, you know, being able to go in, and even with Recovered, you know, we spent the time with Rob, even though those were covers, you know, spending the time to make the songs, you know, sound right and big. And then ultimately with the Evolution of Chaos, you know, we were able to spend, you know, almost 6 months, you know, working on it and making sure that every little detail, you know, was taken care of, so that when we went home and listened to it, if there was anything that bugged us, we could go back in the studio the next day and fix it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very liberating for us, all especially me, I think.
David, talk about what was it like for you? For you guys, when you came back to play as a band again, talk about some of the newer members, and in particular, you ended up recruiting Craig and Lum of the band Prototype, a band that I really like quite a bit. And, you know, talk a little bit about that and what the vibe was like for you.
Well, with Craig and, in 2001 when we played the Thrash of the Titans, those guys, Craig and his band Prototype, those guys were, you know, they put out a couple records, and they had gotten a lot of criticism about their vocals, and that, you know, a lot of people had sort of suggested that they maybe, you know, would be good to get a lead vocalist to take over, you know, and so they were kind of looking, and they came up to Thrash of the Titans to check it out, and then they called me and asked me if I might be interested, and so at the time, Heathen wasn't really. I mean, we formed to do the Thrash of the Titans, but we weren't necessarily, you know, really talking about putting the band back together at that point. You know, so I definitely was interested in the opportunity, and I got their record, and I was impressed. And so learned the material, and I went down to L.A. and jammed with them. And then they asked me to come back. And a couple of weeks later, they sent me home with a demo of some of their new songs that they were going to put on their next record. And they wanted to see, how I would do, recording that stuff. So I came back and recorded with them. Apparently, I was actually surprised that they were looking for a singer, because when I heard the record, I thought the vocals were good.
Mm-hmm.
I had expressed that to Vince several times when I was down there and on the phone, but I still told him I was still interested, but because I live up here and they live down there, that was a little complicated. And then I think that Vince really, didn't want to give up, that role. And so I didn't get the gig, which was fine, and then actually he then ended up getting back together, and we did the Wacken Festival in Germany in 2002, and then we put the band get back together from there. But I stayed in touch with the guys from Prototype. They're really nice guys. And when we went through a couple lineup changes with guitar players, Ira Black was in the band. Since the 2001, the Thrash the Titans and Wacken and different things we did locally. And then we had a falling out with him. And when we did the demo, we didn't have a second guitar player. We had a couple guest guitar players. One was Terry Lauderdale, and one was Bane Rasmussen from Elba Chorus. And when I heard the solos that Terry had laid down on the demo, I told Lee, I think we should get that guy in the band, because the guy was just ripping.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. And he played with us for a couple of years, and he did a tour with us. But he's more of an old school rocker guy, and really, as far as the rhythms go in this kind of music, the fast, chunky rhythms, it was very foreign to him, and he never really did grasp it. And it was one of those things we were hoping that he would, in time, kind of, feel his way out, but it just. I think he was more interested in noodling around on the neck than really concentrating on the structure of the song and the rhythms. So when we were getting ready to sign a record deal and getting ready to get serious about writing and finishing up the material for the new record, we had basically put the ultimatum on the table, you need to, step it up. And he was not up to the task. So we started to run into the whole, we got to find another guy, and a couple different people that in the band had a couple different ideas, but I had called Vince, the other guitar player from Prototype, and asked him if he would be interested, him or Cragen would be interested in coming up to audition for Heathen, and he wasn't really available to do it, but he said that Cragen might be interested, so Cragen called me the next day, and he was definitely interested, and he learned this stuff. We gave him a few weeks to learn it, and he came up to audition, and we'd already jammed with a couple different guitar players, and still had maybe two guitar players that we still were going to audition, and anyway, Cragen came up and played with us, and he just killed it.
Mm-hmm.
He just killed it, and it was one of those things where, and he's a really great guy, he's really cool, and after playing with him, and having not been that tight in very many years, here this guy's auditioning for us, and it's like the band is tighter than they've been in a long, long time. We didn't have to even hesitate, we all just looked at each other, and we just asked him to join the band right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, we started working on stuff, and I think Cragen's first show with us was in Germany at the Keep It True Festival, and that is a pretty good festival they have every year, and it's usually 2 days, we played one day, but anyway, it's about 2,000 people, and you know, we just went out there and had a great show, and he was a little nervous, but he did very, very well. And we just kind of looked back. I mean, the guy is just a perfect fit. He totally gets the whole, you know, thrash, you know, metal thing, coming from a thrash, you know, band and also a progressive band. He's just, you know, he's refined his craft. He's just an amazing guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
In the early 1990s, the band had obviously broken up, and, you know, why did the band break up back then?
Well, that's kind of simple. You know, when we got back from touring in Europe with Sepultura, the whole metal thing was really quite dead in the United States, and because of the whole grunge thing, it sort of taken over,
mm-hmm.
and with the economy and everything else, and then we were trying to do different things, and like I said, we got in the studio to do what was to later be Recovered. We were, you know, planning on doing an EP, and sort of ran out of money to finish recording it, and then Lee was offered through some friends of ours from Rock Hard Magazine in Germany. They knew the guys from the techno-industrial band Die Groups, and they were looking for a guitar player to go out on tour. And so that was offered to Lee. So he went to Germany to go on tour with these guys and did really well, and they offered him a job playing with them full-time. And the Groups is, you know, they actually have like 2 gold albums. They've made a lot of money over the years, and it was just a really good opportunity for Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So, at that point, you know, the band sort of was put on hold or whatever, and for about 5 or 6 years, he was going back and forth to Europe doing the Groups, and you know, all of us did other things. Played with what used to be Defiance turned into Inner Threshold for a while, and then just some other things. But, you know, I just concentrated on raising my son.
Mm-hmm.
Darren played in a couple different bands up in Sacramento. You know, everybody just sort of went their different ways. You know? Yeah, hell yeah. My wife would just walk by. She goes, oh, yeah, Darren played in Die Groups too. he did. He had a small stint over there with Die Groups for about, I think he played with them for like 2 years as well. So, you know, just was one of those things, and then when Lee, you know, finally got sick of doing that, you know, going back and forth, you know, he came back, and I was like, hey, you want to put this together? And he was kind of, you know, yeah, kind of, but he was so sick of, you know, traveling back and forth and touring and doing all that thing, he needed to just not do anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what really, like I said, what really, you know, it started the spark was the Flash of the Titans thing, you know. And then later the Vakken. So, you know, it took a little while to get everybody to sort of want to pull it back together, you know. And it's just taken us a while, you know, to just sort of get to this point. And once we did the demo and did the tour, when we were getting ready to go to Europe to do this a tour with Nuclear Assault, the tunnel from Exodus had basically lost his job. And we're all friends, and everybody's all friends with each other. So Gary had called Lee and asked him if he wanted to. You know, he came in to do some solos, and then they asked him to join the group too.
Mm-hmm.
So that further complicated and further delayed things with Heathen. But yet Lee still wanted to, you know, proceed with the Heathen thing and what we were going to try to do. So it just made things, you know, take a little bit longer. But you know, we finally did it. We finally recorded a record, and it's finally out, so it makes it difficult, and I think it's hard for him too now, because it's, you know, Exodus is on a good roll.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Heathen is also, you know, they're getting a lot of attention right now, and the record's doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's nothing to shake a stick at this point, you know.